So the since the Gemaras in the past few weeks and the next week or so are going to be discussing the different types of kinyanim in halacha, I felt that this is a good opportunity to kind of get the bigger picture of how kinyanim work, the sources for the different kinyanim, what the different kinyanim are, and hopefully this will give us a better understanding of Gemaras that we've learned already and Gemaras that are going to come up very soon. Again, Kiddushin, this section of Kiddushin is like the main sugya for Kinyanim and Halacha, aside from some Gemaras in Perek HaMochir, Sasvina, and Bava Basra, Ayin Vav, Ayin Zayin, Ayin Ches, and then in Bava Metzi and Perek HaZahav, Daf Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, those Gemaras are also very important for Kinyanim, but Kiddushin is known as, the middle of the first Perek is known as the one of the main sugyos that pertain to, relate to Kinyanim and Halacha, so maybe we'll discuss some of the highlights of Kinyanim tonight. Okay, so without further ado, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Vav has a very cryptic and controversial comment. He says over here that the this is something interesting about Kinyanim. Ve'ein safek ki elo hakinyos kulan mitakanas chachamim hein. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that all Kinyanim are takanas chachamim. Ve'heviu haksuvim lismach behen divrayim. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, you'll tell me the Gemara often quotes psukim as the source for various Kinyanim. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, they're only scriptural support. They're what we call an asmachta. But really, they're takanas chachamim. V'ha'emes, ki chachmasacham ha'yikara hasida ligalos al yodam, ha'yseremuza ugenuza besoch haksuvim, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that the wisdom of Chazal, which was going to be uncovered, was really hidden, tucked in away, hinted to in the psukim. So even though those psukim are not a bona fide source for these halachos, these kinyanim, nevertheless, you can see hints to this idea, these ideas of kinyanim from these psukim. So that's what we call an asmachta. So the simple read of the Sefer HaChinuch is that all kinyanim are midrabanan. So, if you take a look in source 2, the Minchas Chinuch is very bothered by this. He asks, how could it be that all kinyanim are midrabanan and all the psukim that we quote as a support are an asmachta? Huh? In the entire Shas and Rambam, we find that there's a difference. Some kinyanim are d'oraisa, and some kinyanim are d'rabanan. We know, we'll see, there's a machlokis about kinyan agav. Machlokis, we showed him whether kinyan agav is d'rabanan. That's going to be the next daf. And maybe there's a machlokis whether kinyan kesef and kinyan mishicha are d'rabanan. But in terms of chazaka and shtar and chalipin and chatzer and yad, all those kinyanim, we don't find anyone who hints to this idea that the kinyanim are only midrabanan. So what in the world does the Sefer HaChinuch mean that all kinyanim are midrabanan? Maybe some are, but predominantly, for the most part, most kinyanim seem to be biblical. They seem to be midaraisa. So what does the Sefer HaChinuch mean? So Rabbi Asher Weiss suggests that maybe what the Sefer HaChinuch means is as follows, that we know that certain things in the Torah are unclear, and it was given over to the Chachamim to clarify and to determine what the psukim, what the parshios mean. For example, the most famous one is that the Torah gave us a parsha of Chol HaMoed. And then there's a concept of malacha on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara Maseches Chagiga says that Mosar Kasu L'Chachamim, the Torah gave the koach, the right to Chazal, to determine what constitutes malacha on Chol HaMoed and what is not malacha on Chol HaMoed. What's mutar on Chol HaMoed? What's asur on Chol HaMoed? And many Rishonim understand that concept is midaraisa. That even though Chazal are the ones who determine what is malacha, what's not malacha, but since Masar Kasav L'Chachamim, since the Torah, the Psukim, the Parsha was given over to Chachamim to interpret, and to determine what's included and what's excluded. Therefore, on a certain, with respect to this, at least malachas chol hamoed, it could be that it's doraisa. Another example, some rishonim say that the five inuyim, the Ran writes in Maseches Yuma, that the five, the chamish inuyim on Yom Kippur, the Torah never says explicitly achila shusia sicha tashmir shemida nilas asandal. It says v'nisim es nafsho seichem. Right. So how do we know what's constant inuy? So the Ran explains that Masar Kasl Chachamim, it was given over to Chazal to determine what is considered inoy. Now, some Rishonim think that all of them are Daraisa, some Rishonim think that only Achila, Shasiya, and Sichar Daraisa, the other ones are Midra Banan. Be that as it may, but you see that there's a concept of Masar Kasl Chachamim that Chazal are given over the Pasuk to interpret, and that actually has the status of a Daraisa. Yeah.
It's just a
for sure not. For sure not. But you only chayav karis for achil anyway. Achil and shasiya. There's no chayav. But it could be that the other ones are daraisa, but there's no chayav karis. The question is whether nilas hasandal and tashmish shemita are daraisa or darabanan. No one assumes that you're chayav karis for this. Achil is for sure daraisa. Yes, correct. Yeah. No one argues achil is daraisa. The question is the other ones, are they daraisa or darabanan? That is the question. But everyone agrees that Achila is for sure the right, so correct. So now, suggests Rav Asher Weiss, maybe that's what the Sefer HaChinuch is getting at. That even though the Sefer HaChinuch uses the Lashonos of Takanas Chachamim and the Psukim are only Asmachtos, what he's really getting at is that the Psukim that we quote are not bona fide sources in the sense that they're not explicit, right? They're no real clear Psukim. For the different types of kinyan, if you remember from the beginning of the Masechta, Kesef Basada Yiknu, and we're going to have sources for Kinyan Kesef and Kinyan Mashicha. There are no clear sources for the various kinyan. Maybe some are explicit Yad. We'll have a remez, a drasha for a chatzar, himatzei, simatzei. But the psukim are not so clear. So what the Sefer HaChinuch is really getting at is it was given over the Chachamim, the Parsha of Kinyanim was given over the Chachamim to determine what constitutes a Maisa Kinyan and what doesn't constitute a Maisa Kinyan. And Chazal, with their Chachma, with their halachic intuition, were able to be koveya what constitutes a Kinyan and what's not a Kinyan. And that's how you can have various machlokos, you can have various arguments in Chazal in terms of the details of the various Kinyanim. Right, you can have a machlokas in terms of kinyan mashicha. Exactly, what constitutes kinyan mashicha? You can have machlokas in kinyan chalipin. What constitutes kinyan chalipin? So the reason is, even though they're daraisa, since it was given over to Chazal to determine what constitutes the kinyan, even though it's going to have the status of a daraisa, they can argue about the various details because it was given over to them to determine with their halachic intuition. Okay, so that's the discussion about whether kinyanim in general are daraisa, derabanan. The pashut pshat is they are daraisa with some exceptions. Now, we've learned before that every kinyan has three components to it. What are the three components? Das machne, das kone, and the maisa kinyan. Das machne is the desire for the person who is giving over the object to bequeath the object. Then there's the daskona, the desire of the one who's acquiring it to acquire the object. And then there's the maisa kinyan, which is done in order to affect the acquisition. So the question that the Achronim deal with is which of those three components is the ikar part of the kinyan? Which is the chelek of the kinyan that actually affects the maisa kinyan, and the others are just conditions? Do we say that the ikar is the maisa kinyan, and just in order for the maisa kinyan to accomplish anything, you need das makne and das kone? Or do we say that no, the ikar really is the das makne and the das kone, and the maisa kinyan is just a tanai, it's just a condition. In order for the das makna, the das kona to work, you need to do a maisa kinyan. But which is the ikar? Is it really the das makna, the gemira's das? Or is it the maisa kinyan which is the ikar? So we'll see in nafkaminas, but this is a major, major machlokes achronim. So if you take a look, I put over here in source 3, Reb Shimon Shkup in his Sefer Ma'areches HaKinyanim, where he discusses B'iyun, various sugyos in Shas that relate to Kinyanim. So in the second to last line here, we're not going to get into the context of what he's discussing, but in the second to last line here, if you take a look, listen to this Lashon, says Reb Shimon, De'inyan Kinyan, you see second line five words in, De'inyan Kinyan, who? Gemiris Das Shel HaKone V'Hamakne. He says that Kinyan is really the conviction, the desire of the Kone and the Makne that the sale or the acquisition should take place. Rak Shekavu Chazal established Shetehei HaHochacha Hazos Alidei Maisa. How do we know that there's Gemiris Das? What's the simin ladover that there's Gemiris Das on the part of the Kone and the Makne? A Maisa Kinyan. A Maisa Kinyan. So Reb Shimon, and he goes on to bring proofs to this, so Reb Shimon Shkap is of the opinion that the ikker part of a Kinyan is really the desire of the Makne and the Kone that the acquisition should take place. And the Maisa Kinyan is just a way to demonstrate that there is real Gemiris Das here. But it's not that the Maisa Kinyan is inherently valuable, that it actually makes the Kinyan take place. That is Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon is not alone with this. Reb Yosef Engel says this in a few places, this idea that really the ikar when it comes to Kinyanim is the Das Makne and the Das Kone. And the Chazunish at the end of his Sefer and Choshen Mishpat says a very similar idea in the name of his father. He says it a little differently though. Reb Shimon says that the Maisa Kinyan is just a symbolic of the fact that there is Gemiris Das on the part of the Kone and the Makne. The Chaznish quotes from his father a little differently, that it's really that the Maisa Kinyan conjures, it creates the Gemiris Das. The Maisa Kinyan is there to facilitate and to create the Gemiris Das. It's not a simon for the Gemiris Das. It creates the Gemiris Das. But again, the Chaznish assumes, like these Achronim, that the Iker is the Gemiris Das. The Maisa Kinyan is either a hechatimtze, it's a way to get the Gemiris Das, or it's a simon that there is Gemiris Das. But they assume that the Iker part of the Kinyan is really the Gemiris Das, and the Maisa Kinyan is just a condition that needs to be met in order to have Gemiris Das. So this seems to be a tremendous Chiddush. So Rav Asher Weiss has most of what we're quoting here tonight is from Rav Asher Weiss's shtickle in Parshas Bahar on Kinyanim. So he points out a few difficulties with this understanding. First of all, if you're going to tell me that the Iker is the Gemiris Das, and the Maisa Kinyan is just there either as a Simen Ladavar or to facilitate the Gemiris Das, then why do the details of the Maisa Kinyan matter so much? Right? You learn in Maseches Kiddushin, you learn Maseches Bava Basra, you learn Maseches Bava Metzia, and you'll learn that there's so many machlokos in the Achronim, in the Tanaim in the Achronim, exactly how certain Kinyanim work. If you're going to tell me that the Iker part of the Kinyan is the Gemiris Das, the Das Makne and the Das Kone, so then why do the details of the Kinyan really matter so much? As long as you have an act which somehow is symbolic of the Gemiris Das, that should be sufficient. Why is there such a focus on the details of, you know, the Caliph Shel Kone in the Rishus of the Kone, the Rishus of the Mocher, like we learn about Mashicha, whether you have to pull the entire object or part of the object? Who cares? If the whole purpose is just to demonstrate or to conjure Gemiris Das, why are the details so important? That's one question he asks. He has another question. Most of the Kinyanim, who's doing it? The Makne or the Kone? The Kone, right? Most Kinyanim, the Kone is the one who does, the one who's acquiring it is the one who does the Maisa Kinyan. So if you're going to tell me that the purpose of the Maisa Kinyan is to be symbolic of the Gemiris Das, or it's to conjure up the Gemiris Das, so then you've taken care of the Kone's Gemiris Das, that he wants to acquire it when he does the Maisa Kinyan. But the Makne is not doing the Maisa Kinyan. He's not doing any act. He's not the one doing the Mashicha. He's not the one doing the Hagabah. He's not doing the one doing the Mesira. He's not the one doing the Chazaka. So then, if the whole purpose of the Kinyan is for the Gemiris Das to be a Simen, or to conjure up the Gemiris Das, that's for the good for the Kone. But what about the Makne? Where is the Das Makne? So that's another question he asks. And the third question he asks is that we know, I think maybe this was one of our first Chaburas, when there's a major machlokas Rishonim, whether Kinyanim Derabanan, whatever constitutes a kinyan derabana as opposed to kinyan deraisa, whether that works on a deraisa level, right? We know that, as opposed to the simple reading of the Sefer Chinuch, some kinyanim are deraisa, some kinyanim are midrabana, right? For example, let's assume Tosus in Maseches Bava Kama assumes that kinyan agav is only midrabana, it's only rabbinic. So we discussed, when you do a rabbinic kinyan, does it work for dinim, for halachos, which are a function of a deraisa concept, right? If you do a kinyan midrabanan in order to acquire dalad minim, right? Silkus is coming up, and we're going to acquire dalad minim. So let's say we assume that mashicha is only midrabanan. So let's say you do a mashicha on or hagbah is only midrabanan. So you do mashicha hagbah on the dalad minim that you buy. So now you go ahead and you want to use it for a dalad minim on Silkus. Is it considered shalachem or not? Do we say that the kinyan derabanan, once Chazal are mistaken it, it works on a daraisa level? Lamaisa, you acquired it, now it's yours. So for all halachos, all intents and purposes, it's going to be yours. Or do we say, no, Chazal only have the ability to affect dinam midrabanan. So the kinyan derabanan is going to work on a derabanan level. It's not going to be shalachem, though, on a daraisa level. So we discussed that major machlokas. So ask Rav Moshe Weiss, what's the whole discussion? If you assume the whole purpose of a kinyan is to conjure Gemir's Das or to be a simon for Gemir's Das, so then who cares whether it's a kinyan is derabanan or daraisa? Once Chazal or Misakin, that this is how you do an acquisition through this kinyan, even if its source is rabbinic, it should be a way to demonstrate or to conjure up Gemira's Das. So if you assume, like these Achronim, that the focus is the Gemira's Das, and the Maisa Kinyan is insignificant, it's just a way to conjure up or to be a simon for the Gemira's Das, what's the basis to distinguish between Kinyanim Derabanan and Kinyanim Deraisa? That's the third question that he asks. But either way, there do seem to be some Gemaras which indicate that Gemir's Das is the main part of the Kinyan. Why? Because we've discussed beforehand, there are certain Gemaras which assume that under certain circumstances, you can make a Kinyan with Gemir's Das alone without a Maisa Kinyan. So if you're going to tell me that in general, the Maisa Kinyan is the most significant part, so then how can you ever avoid that and make a kinyan with Gemir's Das alone? So let's just take a look inside at some of these Gemaras which indicate Gemir's Das works alone. And taking a look in source 4, we had this a couple of weeks ago in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Tes. The Gemara says, if you have a chasan and a kala, and they do tanoim, right? Tanoim is that the chasan side obligates certain things to the kala, and the kala side obligates certain things to the chasan. So says the Gemara, Amr of Gidol, the Amr of Gidol Marav, Kama Atanosin Levincha, Kach V'Kach. So if the Kala side says to the Chasan side, how much are you going to bring into the marriage? And they say Kach V'Kach. Levitcha, Kach V'Kach, Amdu V'Kitshu. So says the Gemara, Kanu, and Hein Hein Advarm Haniknim Bamira. If they end up getting married, even though they never made a Maisa Kinyan on those conditions that were said at the Tanoim, nevertheless it's binding, because the Gemara says, Hein Hein Advarim Haniknim Ba'amira. These are the things which are acquired through Amira. And the Rishonim explain this halacha, Tosfos over there, Maseches Kiddushin explains, that the reason this works is because there's such a high level of Gemir's Das, it's so clear that the Chasan side, you know, sometimes they back out, but theoretically, it's so clear that the Chasan side wants the marriage to go through, so they want to give over whatever they're promising the Chasan, and the Kala side wants the marriage to go through, so they're going to give over. They really want to give over whatever they're going to promise to the Kala side, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. Since there's such a high level of Gemir's Das, you don't even need a Maisa Kinyan to make the acquisition go through. So this Gemara seems to indicate that sometimes Gemir's Das is sufficient. There's another Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra. At the end of Maseches Bava Basra, we'll be there in a year and a half or so. So the Gemara in Bava Basra is trying to figure out what is the source for the institution of Arev. An Arev is a guarantor. So what is the source for a guarantor? So the Gemara has a whole shock of Atari trying to figure out, maybe learn from Yehuda, that Yehuda was a guarantor, Anochi Aravenu. The Gemara ends up saying that no, really the source for an Arev is Ela Amar Ravashi in source 5, Bahu Hana Dekamehemenle, Gomar Umishtabe Nafshe. Says the Gemara, the Hana that the Arev gets from the fact that the Malva and the Lova believe him, they trust him. They trust him. He feels really good that he's a trustworthy person. Now he has the Gemiras Das that he wants to be Meshabed himself. He wants to make himself Achroi, responsible for paying back the loan on the event that the Lova defaults. So wait a second, where was the Maisa Kinyan? The Arev is making himself Achroi, he's obligating himself to pay on the event that the Lova defaults, even though there was no Maisa Kinyan. So you see that there's such a high level of Gemiras Das. When the Arev gets this Hana, his desire to make himself responsible, to make a lien on his assets, is such a high level of Gemiras Das, that's sufficient even without a Maisa Kinyan. And if, what was that? The Arev doesn't have to write a shtar. Even without the shtar, I mean, you could put the Arev in the shtar, but it doesn't have to be in the shtar. It's clear. We'll see the sugi's there. But Nekar, then, the Arev does not have to be in the shtar. You can grade the Sheba, but even without the shtar. You can have an Arev even with a Milval Peh. Even if there's no loan. And there's two of them, exactly. Yeah. Then one more source, which we discussed in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, when we discussed the sugya of Makiri Kuhuna. So we went through all the different shitos of how exactly Makiri Kuhuna works. So there was a Rashbam in Bava Basra, in Perek Yesh Noflin, where the Rashbam seemed to indicate that the mechanism for Makiri Kuhuna, that all of the Manus Kuhuna that I'm going to give, we assume are already go to the coin that I always give my Manus Kuhuna to. So the Rashbam there had a lashon, and the Rashash explained this, that it works through this idea of Hein Hein Advarm Hanikun Bamira. Since there's such a high level of Gemir's Das, I always give my Matnas Kuhuna to this coin, to Mr. Katz. I always give my Matnas Kuhuna to him. So therefore, once I separate the Trumos and Maisis, the Trumos, or the Zro Lechayayim Keva, whatever the Matnas Kuhuna is, there's such a high level of Gemir's Das that I want him to have it. So even without the Maisa Kinyan, it already belongs to him. So it's another idea, another mucker, that when there's such a high level of Gemir's Das, we circumvent the need for a Maisa Kinyan. So from those three sources, it seems to corroborate the opinion of these Gedolei Achronim, Reb Shimon, Chazon Ish, Yosef Engel, and others, who assume that the Iker really is the Gemir's Das, and the Maisa Kinyan is necessary either to facilitate, to create the Gemir's Das, or to be a similar level of the Gemir's Das. But sometimes the Gemir's Das is so great, you don't even need a Maisa Kinyan. So what's the pushback to these Rayas? Okay, that's a big discussion. But that is the Machlokes Achronim, whether the Iker by Kinyanim is the Gemir's Das, or is it the Maisa Kinyan? Good. Now, Rav Asher Weiss points out that there are really seem to be four categories of Kinyanim. There seem to be four categories of kinyanim in halacha. So what we're going to do is we're just going to lay out and give examples of the four different types of kinyanim. So the first category of kinyan is what he calls kinyan tamura. So it doesn't mean a tamura when it comes to korbanos, but it's the same idea. Kinyan tamura is what he refers to as an exchange. Certain kinyanim are rooted in exchange. I give you this object, and instead, you give me that object. So what's the most obvious form of kinyan tamura? What would you think?
Kesef.
Oh, so that's what you would think. So the Shulchan Aruch says that when a person buys a sadeh, when a person buys a field, so how do you buy a field? There are three ways to buy a field. Kesef, shtar, and chazaka. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Kuf Tzadi that when you buy a field, you give a shava pruta. You give a shava pruta. And that is enough to constitute kinyan kesef. So the Sma, the Sefer Meir Seinayim, written by Rabbi Shul Falk in the 1600s, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. So he says that, what's going on here? How does a shava pruta constitute kinyan kesef? Kinyan kesef, l'chora, has to be the value of the property. Isn't kinyan kesef by definition like what you were suggesting, Evan? Kinyan kesef is what he calls kesef shivoy. The kinyan of kinyan kesef is an exchange for the object. I am giving you its value in money. So what type of real estate, you're in real estate, what type of real estate is worth a shava pruta? Certainly not in LA. Nothing's worth a shava pruta in LA, right? So what is the Shulchan Aruch talking about that you can make an acquisition on karka through Kinyan Kesef with a Shavar Pruta. So the Sma says what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is a very, very nuanced case where you're giving the Shavar Pruta and then you do what we call Zekifas Milva and the rest. Zekifas Milva is you obligate yourself in a loan. It's basically a mortgage. You basically take a down payment into the Shavar Pruta and then the rest you take out a mortgage. So, because otherwise, you're not giving over the value of the sadeh to the owner, because the sma is assuming, like you said, that the nature of kinyan kesef is an exchange for the object that you want to acquire. You give to the mocher the value of that object in money. That's kesef, what he calls kesef shivui. Now that's the sma. The Taz has a famous kash on the Sma. He says, whoa, wait a second. What's one of we learned in the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin that an Isha's nicknames be Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. And what do you need to acquire an Isha? How much? What do you paskin? A Shavar Pruta. Right. So if you're going to tell me that Kinyan Kesef needs to be Kesef Shivoy, it has to be the value of the object that you're purchasing, then by an Isha, is she only worth a Shavar Pruta? Is she only worth a Shavar Pruta? So doesn't that seem to indicate that Kinyan Kesef is not necessarily what we call Kesef Shivoy? It's not necessarily an exchange, the value of the object, giving Kesef to the Mocher? Don't you see that from the Shavar Pruta by Isha? So this is a big vikuach, big discussion when you learn Maseches Kiddushin B'Iyun. One of the first sugyas is machlokas between the Sma and the Taz about the nature of Kinyan Kesef when it comes to Kiddushin. Or in general, is it what you call Kesef Shivoy? Is it Tumura as an exchange? Or is it some Maisa Kinyan alone? You know, it's not necessarily the value of the object. There's an Avim Miluim. There's a big discussion about this. Yeah. I'm sorry?
It's unique to Kiddushin.
But we learn Kesef Kiddushin from Sada, from the way Kinyan Kesef works by even purchasing real estate. So it would be difficult to say that the source is from Karka, from real estate, but the nature of the din is different. It could be.
Person has no value for stuff.
Oh, okay. So this is a big discussion. We're not going to get into the details of that machlokas, but important to know that that is the major machlokas between the Sma and the Taz, and it's rooted in this question of whether Kesef is a kinyan of Tumura and exchange or not. Another one, which may be a Kesef kinyan Tumura, is Chalipin, right? There may be two different types of Chalipin. There may be the Chalipin of Kinyan Sudar versus Shava B'Shava. We're going to learn a Tosis on Daf Chavav, I'm sorry. But that's the first category of Kinyan, what he calls Kinyan Tumura. The second category of Kinyan is what we call Kinyan Raya. Kinyan Raya. What's an example of Kinyan Raya, a proof? Shtar. How does a Kinyan Shtar work? What are you giving over to the mocher gives over to the lokeach a shtar. So how exactly does that kinyan work? So the Achronim explained that the nature of the kinyan of shtar is that it says in the shtar that Ploni ben Ploni is now acquiring such a sadeh. So that is a raya, it's a proof that the kone is the new owner. And that proof now constitutes the kinyan. It's Mesiras Raya. When you give over the proof, you give over the deed to the new owner. Now the fact that he has this proof that he is the owner, that itself constitutes a kinyan. So you're not exchanging. It's not I'm exchanging the shtar for for the piece of land. And it's not a demonstration of ownership. It's that now that I have the proof of ownership, that itself constitutes a kinyan. Being in control of the proof of ownership constitutes a kinyan. And that's why there's so many details in Hilchos Shtar of exactly how the shtar can't be forged. It can't be, how detail-oriented does it have to be? Because the nature of the kinyan of shtar is the proof shabo. It's the proof of ownership. And therefore, it has to be a good proof. It can't be forged. It has to be detailed. So that is the second category of kinyan. The third category of kinyan is what we call reshusa shel adam, being machnis the reshusa, bringing into your under your shlita into your reshus. So what's the ultimate kinyan reshus? So we know in the Torah that there's a kinyan yad, right? How does an isha acquire a get? The Torah says v'nasan biyada, that she acquires through a kinyan. And how does a ganav steal an object? So the Torah says simatze biyada. When it comes to kefel, it's biyada. And the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia learns as an extension of kinyan yad is also the concept of kinyan chatzer. That just like when something is in a person's hand, it's in his rishus, it becomes his. So too, his chatzer, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, is an extension of his yad. Now when something goes into my chatzer and I want to acquire it, it's ki'ilu, it's nichnas the rishusi, and that constitutes a kinyan. The fact that the object is nichnas rishusi, it comes into my rishus, it comes into my house, it comes into my chatzer, that constitutes a kinyan. That is the concept of hachnas rishusa. And also the Gemara that we learned today about kelim, right? The idea of kinyan kli, that if an object is put into my kli, depending on where it is, whether it's in my rishus, someone else's rishus, but a kli fundamentally can be koneh, says the Rambam, and source 10 over here, Kalev shall Adam kol makam sheyesh lo rishus lanichal kanalo. That wherever a person has the right to put his kalim, it's konalo. Kalev shall nichtesu a metalton besocha kli in echem and yachal lach zabov aharizek kemo shegbian o kemo shehuncho besoch beso. Says the Rambam that when an object is put into my kli with the intention of giving it over to me and I want to acquire it, it's as if it's put in my house. Why? Because you see, the idea of kli is also a type of hachnasa lirishusa. So that's the third category of kinyan. Kinyan of rishusa shel adam. And the fourth type of kinyan is what he calls hafganas bailus. Hafganas bailus is a demonstration of ownership. So what's the ultimate kinyan, which is a demonstration of ownership? Exactly. Kinyan chazaka. So we know chazaka is one of the three kinyan that work by karka. And what you do is, the Gemara says either you make a geder, you make a fence around the field, or you make a pirtz in the field, or you plant the field. You do some type of act which demonstrates ownership. That is kinyan chazaka. And the Rambam even takes this a step further, and he says when it comes to kinyan chazaka by karka, there's a very well-known Rambam, a difficult Rambam. We'll see when we learn Maseches Bava Basra. The Rambam says that even being mishateach peros, putting your property on the karka, even if you don't change, even if you don't improve the karka, even if you don't build on the karka, but you just scatter your fruit there, since that's good for when it comes to Cheskas Gimel Shanim, which we'll learn about in Bava Basra, the Rambam thinks that's also a demonstration of ownership, and that's sufficient to actually create a kinyan chazaka when it comes to chazaka bekarka. So that's the fourth category of kinyan hafganas bailus. So the question that we're going to leave with is the kinyanim that we're discussing on our daf today. Meshicha, hagba, and mesira. So which of the four categories do those three kinyanim fall into? The Ritva writes over here that Meshicha, Hagba, and Mesira are all related. Hagba and Mesira are extensions of the kinyan Meshicha. And you can look in source 12 why that is. But what would you think? Which of the four categories do Meshicha, Hagba, and Mesira fall into? So, why? All right, so you could argue that Meshicha, Hagba, and Mesira are demonstrations of ownership. It's like a chazaka in the sense that you're taking the object, you're using the object, and by picking it up, or by pulling it, or by dragging it, you are acting like an owner. That's what an owner does to an object. That's what some suggest. And others suggest maybe it's machlokas rishonim, maybe it's definitely machlokas achronim, maybe it's machlokas rishonim. Others argue that no, meshicha, hagba, and mesira are really forms of hachnasa l'reshusa. Hachnas l'reshuso. When I do meshicha, when I pull the object towards me, on a certain level, it could be that's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether meshicha is d'oraisa d'rabanan. We'll learn that a little bit in Kiddushin and Bav Metzia, whether meshicha is d'oraisa d'rabanan. Maybe everyone agrees when it comes to matan meshicha is d'oraisa. But when I pull something towards me, I am pulling it into my reshus. Now, I may not be at home. I may be in the simta, or I may be in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, depending on exactly where Mashiach works. But when I pull it towards me on a certain level, I'm bringing it into my Rishus. Hagba, when I pick it up, I'm bringing it closer to me. I'm bringing it into my Rishus. And Mesira as well. When I drag something, I am, on a certain level, bringing it into my Rishus. So there's a major, major machlokas, definitely Achronim, maybe Rishonim, whether Mashiach, Hagba, and Mesira constitute a Kenyan similar to Chazaka, Havganas Bailas, or Hachlas Rishuso, similar to Yad and Chaser. Lamai Nafkamina, who cares? This is just philosophy. So perhaps a Nafkamina is going back to Maseches Gittin. There is a very important Ran at the end of Maseches Gittin. The Ran thinks that the only kinyanim that work when it comes to get are kinyan yad and kinyan chatzer. But all the other kinyanim don't work. What was that? I'm sorry?
Yad and chatzer are really the same thing.
Yad and chatzer are really the same thing, exactly. Chatzer is an extension of yad, exactly. So now, what would you say about Haggabah? Does Haggabah work? If the woman picks, according to the Ran, if the woman picks up the get, does that work? I'm sorry? What was that? Good question. So there's many Achronim assume that Yad means that the entire object has to be in your hand. So anything that's sticking out of the Yad is not going to be Yad, it's going to be Hagva. So we'll discuss in a moment. So this is known as the Machlokas between the Teres Gittin, the author of the Nesivis, Rav Yaakov Leuberberg, and the Rabbi Kiviger. The Teres Gittin assumes that Hagva works, and Rabbi Kiviger assumes that Hagva does not work. Yikin Yad, and those who are machmir for this opinion, Rabbi Kiviger, what they do is they have to fold up when they do Nesinas Haget, they fold up the get very small enough to be able to fit into the woman's hand, completely into the woman's hand. So what does this machlokas depend on? So some explain that the machlokas depends on our question whether kinya Hagva. Is that fundamentally a kinyan of Hafkanas Bailas similar to Chazaka? If that's the case, it shouldn't work by get. Or do we say, no, fundamentally Haggabah is like a Hachnosa Rishuso, similar to Yad and Chatzer. And just like Yad and Chatzer certainly work by get. That's what the Torah says, Nasim Yada, and we know Himasi Simasi is an extension of Yad. So Chatzer works at Mitam Yad, so maybe the Torah's Gittin assume that Haggabah, since it's a form of Hachnosa Rishuso, so just like Yad and Chatzer certainly work, so too Haggabah should work. So there are those who explain that maybe that's the basis for the Machlokas Achronim, whether Haggabah is good when it comes to Nesina Saget. So that's the Machlokas Achronim when it comes to Meshicha, Haggabah, and Mesira, whether it's fundamentally a kinyan of Hafganas Baila, similar to Chazaka, or is it a kinyan of Hachnas L'Rishuso, similar to Yad and Chatzer? So these are some of the highlights of kinyanim that relate to our sugyas, the upcoming sugyas, Maseches Kedushin, and Mirat Hashem, Maseches Bava Metzia and Bava Basra, that should be Baalein L'Tova. Okay. Yashakayach.